really appreciate that. I'm here to welcome our guest preacher, but I want to say one more thing before I do that, and that is to thank particularly Fred Preston, Irv Dick, and a number of other people. Last night we had our local chapter of the GROW Project for the Canadian Food Grains Bank supper, and I know a lot of people from this congregation put much work into that, both into the supper and the whole growing project for the, through the year, and Fred and Irv and just a lot of people. So, hey, it was an awesome evening, and I know the whole year was a good success. So, hey, thank you very much. We're privileged this morning to have Terry Jackson with us, Terry and his wife Roxanne. I've only met them this morning, but they're part of the Dutchess Mennonite Church. We welcome Terry to... preach the word. I just want to say a prayer for him, and then maybe he'll share a little bit about themselves, and then he'll preach the word. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that you have nourished both our bodies, but you nourish our hearts through your word, the bread of life. Thank you for Terry and his heart for you, his love for the word, his desire to preach. And just pray that your spirit would be upon him now as he shares with us what you have put on his heart that you know that we need to hear. Guide him in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Well, good morning, everybody. So I am Terry Jackson. I'm a little, thank you, choir. I was actually kind of hoping you would stay up here because I've never preached with a choir to help enunciate my points. It'd be like other Jackson preachers in the Deep South, maybe. But we would probably take a little bit of practice to do it, get the kind of rhythm back and forth. But that might be kind of fun. So maybe next time, if you decide to bring me back, we can do a combination choir preaching thing. I don't know. Yeah, so Roxanne and I live in Brooks. We've been married for about 14 months. So we don't have any kids. We do have a couple budgies, no dogs or cats, but that was a big selling feature when I was dating Roxanne because of my allergies. To find a girl in her 30s that didn't have cats was a really difficult thing. So thank you, Roxanne, for only having budgies. The budgies are much easier to deal with. And it's great to be able to breathe in the home. So. Before that, I was living in Medicine Hat, but I've also lived in Kelowna and in Karenport and a couple other places as well. I'm excited to be here with you this morning and to bring God's word to you and expectant that God is going to be at work. We don't gather together on a Sunday morning other than to expect that God is going to be here and is going to show up and is going to do something profound, or else there'd be football I would rather watch instead of that, I guess. But we're here because we believe that God is at work, and I believe that God is at work in this community. This morning, I want to talk to you about remembering. Memories are interesting things. I come from a family of four kids, and as adults, it's intriguing to reminisce about our memories from our childhood. And I say intriguing because among the four of us, we all have very different memories. We all recall very different things. And even when we recall the same kind of event, you'll hear four different stories. That's how memories work. When I think back of our family vacation to the Kootenays, my most vivid memory is about eating too many mint chocolate chip cookies and throwing up. My sisters remember more maybe the weather getting rained out, maybe an argument between mom and dad. Memories aren't something that are, our memories don't act as a video recorder. We don't recall everything that goes on. Our memories are about our interpretation of what's happened to us, and even our interpretation of how we've processed that event over the period of our life. Each and every one of us are gathered here this morning in the same room, but we're all going to remember this morning very differently. Hopefully, there'll be a lot of similar memories, but each and every one of you are because of what has gone on in your life before you came in here this morning, and what else is happening in your life after here, we're going to think about this morning very differently. You all are going to have your unique stories to tell. This morning, our focus is on remembering, why we need to do it, and how we can better do it. My hope is that God will use this morning to remind us of who He is and where He has revealed Himself most clearly in each of our lives. So, to do that, I want to draw our attention to Joshua chapter 4. Joshua chapter 4. I'm going to read through the whole chapter because I think it's a great story, and it's better that I just read it here for us. So Joshua chapter 4. When all the nation had finished passing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Take 12 men from the people, from each tribe a man, and command them, saying, 'Take 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest's feet stood firmly, and bring them over with the 12 men, and bring them over with you, and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight.' Then Joshua called the 12 men from the people of Israel, whom he had appointed, a man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, 'Pass on before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take up each of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of tribes of the people of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in a time to come, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever.' And the people of Israel did just as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, just as the Lord told Joshua. And they carried them over with them to the place where they lodged and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant had stood. And they are there to this day. For the priests bearing the Ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to tell the people, according to all that Moses had commanded Joshua. The people passed over in haste, and when all the people had finished passing over, the Ark of the Lord and the priests passed over before the people. The sons of Reuben and the sons of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh passed over armed before the people of Israel, as Moses had told them. About 40,000 ready for war passed over before the Lord for battle to the plains of Jericho. On that day the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they stood in awe of him, just as they had stood in awe of Moses all the days of his life. And the Lord said to Joshua, 'Command the priests bearing the Ark of the Testimony to come up out of the Jordan.' So Joshua commanded the priests, 'Come up out of the Jordan.' And when the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came up from the midst of the Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up on the dry ground, the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and overflowed all its banks as before. The people came up out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped at Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones of Israel, and those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan, Joshua set up at Gilgal. And he said to the people of Israel, 'When your children ask their fathers in times to come, what do these stones mean? Then you shall let your children know, Israel passed over this Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed over. As the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up for us until we passed over, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever.'" Amen. In Joshua chapter 4, God makes a way across the Jordan River for the Israelites, whose parents had also crossed over safely from Egypt through the Red Sea. This was two generations that God had done this similar miracle of providing a safe passage through what seemed an impassable way. In our passage, people are crossing the river to enter into the promised land. God was beginning to fulfill his promises to them of giving them the land he had promised their father Abraham. The text makes it clear that the significance of the rocks was for the people. They were used to construct an altar so that later generations would remember what God had done for them on this day. Today, I want to focus on the importance of remembering the moments where God has shown up in our lives and how we remember and retell our stories to our family, friends, colleagues, and communities. I presume that most of you like to hear a good story. As a culture, we spend billions of dollars on entertainment in order that we can enter amazing worlds and see engrossing stories. You know, most of us like telling stories. Some of us are actually good at telling stories. I don't know who in the room here is good at telling stories. No hands shot up. You're good. Good, thanks, sir. You're a good story. Oh, you're another good storyteller? Good. People like good stories. And if you can tell a good story, then people will really want to listen to you. I don't know what kind of storyteller I am. You'll tell me afterwards. But I imagine that if we would literally have the same experience as the Israelites, that we would tell that story as often as we could. But most of us don't have that kind of story to tell. I know that I'm not going to be bringing you today any stories of waters drying up so I could pass through. I don't have those kind of stories to tell. But the question is, do we have a story to tell? And what stories are worth remembering? I was sitting in church a few months back when God put this chapter into my head to read it during the worship time. And for me, this passage was about the challenging moment when the people had already crossed safely and were then called to come back into the river to retrieve the stones. I thought about how my reaction would be so full of fear and dread. If I had gotten safely to the other side, had gotten through that moment, now I'm being called to go back into the riverbed and grab a big stone and put it out of my shoulder and to carry it out. I felt the dread, the fear, and the anxiety of having to go back into the riverbed and test God's goodness once more. Would God really provide? Would he hold back the water? This seems like a foolish endeavor to enter back in. We've gotten through. We're okay. Why do we go back? To me, the riverbed represents the moments of suffering and loss in our lives where we need God to help us through. We are desperate for God to be real and present and to help us survive what's happening. It's not only in the moments of sunshine and blessing where one experiences God in a way that's worth remembering, but it's also in the riverbed where danger and death are present. It is out of these moments and these experiences where we come away with our story to tell of what God has done in our lives. You know you are in a riverbed moment when you're asking the question, where are you, God? What's going on? Why aren't you talking to me? Why aren't you saying anything? Why aren't you revealing yourself? Those moments of questions, those moments of frustration, those sleepless nights, that's a riverbed. As humans, we struggle to remember well what's happened before. We forget God's goodness because our focus is about the next issue, the next problem we are facing. It's important for us to remember for ourselves, but what this chapter focuses on is the importance of remembering for future generations. I've had the privilege to work with young people in different capacities over the last 20 years, and I have met some great teens, and I have met some dedicated parents. Parents who wanted nothing more than to see their children become devoted followers of Jesus. Sadly, I have seen my friends grow up and abandon the church and abandon their parents' beliefs. The question is always hotly debated in the youth circles is how do we pass on our faith from one generation to the next? I can't fully answer that question for you this morning, but I believe one important aspect comes out of our passage today. It is in the telling and the recalling of our God stories that we provide the best witness to who God is and what that means for the next generation. When I was a teenager, there was a lot of focus in my church and youth ministry about the fourfold gospel and about how to give the best and most concise witness to who God is and what that means. Now, I don't want to take away from those people that used those tracts, who wrote those tracts, but there was something personal missing from that approach to sharing your faith. The story, the witness that will hold the most weight with people is your story. Your testimony of where God has shown up in your life and what difference that has made for you. For the Israelites, the stone served to recall what God had done for them, leading them safely through the Jordan River. Their parents had the story of crossing the Red Sea out of Egypt. That was an amazing story, but it was not a personal one. One could say that the Red Sea crossing, with Moses coming out and parting the Red Sea, that Red Sea crossing is actually a better story, because in that story we have the Egyptian army pursuing the Israelites. So there's an added element of danger and risk involved. But what was important was that for this generation of Israelites to experience God and to tell their story of what he had done for them. The difference that he had made in their life of leading them safely into the promised land. You know, it's easy for us to dismiss our story because it's not flashy or exciting enough. It doesn't measure up to other great stories, so we are hesitant to share it. I believe God is calling each and every one of us to come back into the riverbed, to face the danger and fear of the moment, and to retrieve our stones of memorial so that we can tell our stories to those we love and encounter. I carry with me one such stone. It's my wedding ring. This ring represents for me God's faithfulness in providing a wife, but more so all that he had done in preparing me to meet Roxanne and to be able to respond to her, even though my fears and anxiety were so great. Here I was, 40 years old and single. It was a very hopeless and difficult moment in my life where I felt God had left me. This ring stands as a memorial that even when I felt that God had given up on me, that I had fallen away from God's plan for my life, or that I missed out on the opportunities he had for me, this ring promised me hope. Hope that God did have a plan. Hope that God was preparing me, preparing Roxanne, and bringing the right situations together. When I look at this ring, it reminds me that I serve a God who loves me and who has a plan for my life, a God who knows how to answer the prayers that I'm too scared to pray, and a God who, though frustrates me incredibly with his timing, is a God who has a plan and who can do the miraculous. You know, some people may scoff at my story. They may not believe it to be true, But I know it's true, and it's the best story I can tell of God's faithfulness to me in the provision of a wife. This ring serves as a witness and a story that I need to tell whenever the opportunity presents itself, because it is my story of God's goodness and God's faithfulness. What your children need to hear from you and what your loved ones need to hear from you is your story of where God has shown up in your life. This can be done through a physical object like a ring, stone, or really anything. Sometimes, though, the physical examples serve as an important part of the testimony. But one addition, though, I want to make to telling of our stories, it's also important to not only talk about the moment where God has shown up, but also to talk about your emotions before and during and after the event. If, like me, you were struggling with fear and anxiety, then it's important to recall that moment as well. Your children need not only hear about your faith, but they also need to hear about your fears. They need to know about your struggles and your worries. That question, will the mortgage payment come through? Is there a job out there for me? What about this diagnosis? That is also part of the memorial stones, the before, during, and after response to what God has done. I believe that when we read this passage, we are supposed to identify with the Israelites, but we can also identify with Joshua. There are times when we can call others to be alert that they are in a riverbed moment in their life, a time where God is going to show up, so it's worth remembering. It's easy to want to rush through the difficult times of our lives to get safely through to the other side. But we can be a Joshua to help remind people to take a moment. Take a moment to record what's happening. Take a moment in the middle when you don't know what the ending is going to be to write down in a journal or to pick up an important book or something that spoke to you of God's goodness in that moment. Take a moment. I believe we can be a service to each other when we can tell each other to slow down, to not rush through this moment, that God's goodness will last, that He will bring you to the other side, and there's something to worth remembering right now. So look for where God is showing up. Look for what He's doing. And if you can find something physical like a ring or something to a rock to attach to that, then great. Grab a hold of that to help you remember. To enter back into the riverbed and to retrieve a stone is to face the difficult moments head on. So why should we do this? How can we do this? And let me draw your attention back to our previous chapter. I'm just going to read a few verses, reading from chapter 3, verse 14 and 17. Joshua 3. So when the people set out from their tents to pass over the Jordan with the priests, bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as soon as those bearing the Ark had come as far as the Jordan, and the feet of the priests bearing the Ark were dipped in the brink of the water, now the Jordan overflows at its banks throughout the time of harvest. The waters coming down from above stood and rose up in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Sarathene, and those flowing down toward the Sea of Arabeth, the Salt Sea, were completely cut off, and the people passed over opposite Jericho. And in our passage, again, verse 15 to 18, and the Lord said to Joshua, command the priests bearing the Ark of the Testimony to come up out of the Jordan. So Joshua commanded the priests, come up out of the Jordan. And when the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came up from the midst of the Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up on the dry ground, the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and overflowed all its banks as before. The river didn't start piling up until the Ark of the Covenant arrived. And that's when it started to recede. And it stayed that way until those 40,000 people had passed, until the 12 stones had been retrieved, and everybody was back on the other side. And then, when the ark was taken out, then the river returned to normal. We can enter into the riverbed when God is present. Where God is at work and what God is doing is a safe place for us. It might not come always with the great result like this story. Maybe the healing isn't fully. Maybe there's loss. Maybe there's suffering that seems like it will never be healed. I just think it's so important to be looking for God in those moments because He's there. And He so longs for you to recognize His presence, to recognize that He is going there and providing something for you. Maybe it's not what you were looking for, but God has something for you in the riverbed, and it's worth remembering. And He will provide safety, and He will provide a way for you through that. It is the Spirit of God that allows us to go through the difficult times, and even when we're safe, to be able to remember and even want to think back about those times of loss and suffering. It's the Spirit of God who helps guide us and keeps us intact and helps us to face our fears and face the dread and face the difficult emotions. You can enter into the riverbed moments of your life when God goes before you and is present with you. The promise of Scripture for those of us who have put their trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior is the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. Today, I believe God is calling us as a community of faith to enter into the riverbed and to risk trusting God that He will protect us and lead us safely through. So we are called to take a stone as a memorial so that not only we are blessed through God's protection and provision, but that others are blessed as well. The water may be high, the danger may be real, but so is God. Listen to what God is asking you to do and follow His lead. But take a photograph, grab a stone, write in your journal so that others may be blessed as well. I challenge you today as you have lunch to take some time at the table and tell one of your God stories. Tell your loved ones where God has shown up in your life. They need to hear it. They are desperate to hear it. Thank you again for the opportunity to be with you this morning. I pray that God will continue to lead this community of faith ahead as you're asking big questions. God's a great God. He's a big God, and He will lead you like He led the Israelites across the Jordan into what He has for you. Join with me in prayer. Dear God, I know this room is full of stories of suffering and stories of loss, but stories of where You have shown up and a difference that You have made in each of these people's lives. God, help us to be able to recall well, to be able to remember those moments. God, Holy Spirit, please bring back those memories, things that maybe we haven't wanted to remember, things that we maybe have forgotten long ago, but help bring those things back to us and help us to be able to tell our stories of Your faithfulness to those around us. God, I pray that You would be at work in this community here in Rosemary. Lord, lead and guide them as they, as a body, seek out Your will for them as a community of faith. I pray that they would know Your presence tangibly and Your guidance. Lord, as they are transitioning in leadership, I pray that You would be bringing them their own Joshua. And I pray that You, at the right time, would provide that kind of leadership for them. God, we know You are present, and we know You are real, and we want to just do a better job at recalling that and remembering who You are for us. Lord, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your goodness. I pray a blessing upon this day and upon these amazing people. Pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen.